And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and all people were coming to him from every quarter. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before him, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this."
Thanks, Glenn. Good to see you all. Can I add my welcome, and particularly if you're here for the first time or investigating Christianity, we often have people here who wouldn't call themselves Christians and just coming in to listen in and investigate. You're really, really welcome with us today. What we're going to do to start with is what we sometimes do, is just have a couple of minutes round tables. I've put a question on your sheets there. The question is, what would people in your office say is the thing that they need most to be happy and fulfilled? Okay? So just chat about that for a couple of minutes and we'll come back. Come in there. Yeah, that's probably 1:20. Anyone want to shout out anything?
Money.
Holidays.
Relationships.
Well, the question we're going to be asking is, what is the greatest human problem? And I think we'll get different answers depending on who we ask. I was looking at the TED Talks of the last few years, some of the titles, pretty good place to get a sense for what people feel is some of the greatest problems. Have you met your soulmate? Anxiety, how to take back control. The nostalgia behind your favourite Chinese food. I wasn't sure what that was going to be about, but and is democracy doomed? What do you think is the greatest problem facing men and women today? Bad leaders? Climate change? Some selfish people spoiling it all for the rest of us? Something at work, perhaps? Somebody at work? Our bodies slowly giving up? We've got two miracles here. The healing of a leper and the healing of a paralyzed man. Both of them are showing us something about Jesus and what he's come to do that is far greater and a far greater consequence than simply the healing of a terminal skin disease or a body that doesn't work, as amazing as that is. And I've put where we're going on your sheets, just I'll flag it up so that we know. There's one point today that these two miracles are making. They are showing us that Jesus is the one who has all the authority of God to bring us back into God's presence forever as his forgiven children. We're in a section in Mark's Gospel which is all about the authority of Jesus, God's King, to bring God's kingdom. We've seen that he can banish evil and Satan. We've seen that he can lift off suffering last week. Amazing authority to heal the whole town, every disease, with a word. But finally, we see now that he can deal with the root problem of everything that went wrong in the first place. And that is our broken relationship with God. Jesus has the authority to heal our souls as he can heal our bodies and this world. That is the point of these two miracles. Actually, if I've scrubbed out the number two in the Gospels, the numbers in the Bible have been added later. They're not inspired. They're pretty useful most of the time. But I think actually chapter 2 should begin in verse 13, because we have these two miracles together making one point, side by side. Why two miracles side by side? Because there are two implications to our sin problem. Sin, by the way, in a nutshell, is the way we've all rejected God as our loving ruler, the loving ruler of our lives. That's what we've all done by nature. But sin has two implications to the problem. Firstly, sin has made us spiritually unclean. That is a massive message in the Old Testament part of the Bible. Sin has made us spiritually unclean. You look at speaking to someone just now who's trying to read the book of Leviticus. It's all about that. We don't think about that much, perhaps. But that is one side to the sin problem. But secondly, sin makes us guilty. Sin makes us unclean, and sin makes us guilty. Guilty, meaning that we will have to face the judgment of God. Now, those are two slightly different things with different consequences. To be unclean means that God simply cannot have us anywhere near him. He is fiercely pure and holy like the sun. We cannot be in his presence and live if we're unclean. That we must be banished from him forever. To be guilty means that we must face a judgment day that is yet to come, but terrible. Those two things together mean that without a saviour from sin, we are lost and destined to be in a broken relationship with God forever. Healing won't matter, our bodies being healed, if that problem can't be dealt with. Satan's destruction won't matter if the problem of sin can't be dealt with. But these two miracles tell us that Jesus has all the authority of God to heal our souls. Just look down at verses 40 to 45. He can make us clean. A leper came up to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. This man with leprosy comes up to Jesus. A leper excluded from God's people and God's presence according to the law. He had to walk through a town and cry out, unclean, unclean. The rabbis have dictated, don't go within 50 meters of a leper. They were excluded from God's people and from God's presence. He comes up to Jesus and says, if you will, you can make me clean. You notice that? He has his doubts, but not about Jesus' ability, about his willingness. Jesus says, I will be clean. And at that moment, the leprosy left him. Can you imagine being there? The disciples would have witnessed it, the skin completely healed up. What is this about? Leprosy was God's visual aid so that we can understand what he sees when he looks on the human heart. It is not that God finds deformed skin or bacteria unclean. But just as we draw pictures for our children to explain things that are hard to understand, so God has drawn this picture for us. He says, look at the leper and understand what I see when I look on the human heart. We are lepers on the inside by nature in the eyes of God. We are spiritually unclean. And can I say we know this is true deep down, no matter how much we might push that truth away and our colleagues might push it away. We know this is true deep down. Even our consciences can tell us that. Through this miracle, Jesus therefore is showing us that the person who comes to him in faith, like this leper, can be cleansed, washed, and made clean forever by his authoritative touch. And therefore Jesus can bring us back to God, into his presence, as we were always meant to be. Jesus can deal with the filth of sin, but he can also deal with the guilt of our sin. And that's the point of the paralyzed man. Just look down at verse 3. They came bringing to him a paralyzed man, four men. And the house is crowded. Jesus is teaching. They can't get in because of the crowd. And so you can imagine them walking up the roof. These houses would have had, Mediterranean houses would have had, you may have seen it, external stairs along the side. So they would have taken him up onto the roof and dug a hole in the roof and then lowered him into the room at Jesus' feet. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. And then look at verse 10. That you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. This man was forgiven before God forever. No more guilt. Nothing to pay on judgment day. At the declaration of Jesus. So we are filthy before God by nature, but Jesus has the authority to make us clean. We are guilty before God by nature, but Jesus has the authority to forgive our sins. But as if that is not enough, and that would be enough, wouldn't it? There is more. Look at that word that he uses to address the paralyzed man as he lies on his mat, verse 5. Son. Literally, child. It is the affectionate word used by a father for his son. It is very deliberate. Jesus could have used any word. Jesus declares this man to be a child of God, a precious child, loved, cherished, and forgiven. And so Jesus, the Son of God, has authority to bring sinners back to God forever. Back into his presence as his forgiven children. And can I say, there is no better news than that. Imagine the joy of the leper as he skipped away, or the paralyzed man as he leapt up. Well, that is a small picture of the joy that it is to be restored to relationship with God forever. I just have three observations to make. We pause on this question that they ask in verse 6. Who is Jesus then? Just look at verse 6. Now the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? In other words, he would need to be God to do this. And Jesus' answer is fascinating, isn't it? Verse 8, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said, why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? His point is, it is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, and so I'm now going to say, rise, take up your bed and walk. And in doing so, I will prove to you my invisible authority through the visible. I have authority to forgive sins. Let me prove that to you through the visible authority. Rise, pick up your bed and walk. And up he rose. This man's wasted muscles are remade and reordered in a moment, as only the Creator himself could do. And so Jesus says, verse 10, this is the conclusion you need to reach. Realize that I, the Messiah, the Son of Man, have all the authority of God to forgive sins. In other words, he says to these Jews, you need to realize that I'm a much greater Messiah than you think. Much greater. Think about it for a second. The forgiveness of sins is the prerogative of the Son. No one can be forgiven except by coming to Jesus in faith. He's the one who forgives sins. But surely only God can forgive sins. God is the wronged party. That's their question is right. Surely they're questioning in their hearts. That's true. Only God can forgive sins. Yes. And so tantalizingly, who do you think Jesus is? Secondly, this is our deepest need. We all have this with kids. So if anyone's got kids here, I'm sorry if I keep bringing illustrations of being a parent, but it's a big deal for me at the moment with three boys. Anyway, we all know what kids are like. They're short-sighted in what they think they need, right? As parents, you can see that your 10-year-old's greatest need is not to be able to eat only chocolate and play computer games late into the night. Why can you see that? Because you can see further than he can. You know what's coming further down the line. He can't see it. The point here is that spiritually we are just like the short-sighted child. We don't know what we need because we can only see so far. What a bizarre thing it is that Jesus says in 2 verse 5 to the paralyzed man. Can you imagine it? They've lowered him down. He's on his mat, completely paralyzed. The whole room expecting Jesus to do one thing. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. As he lies there, can you imagine the confusion? I don't think he could have made his point more clearly, both to them then and to us today. Though every muscle in our body should stop working, our greatest need would still be to be forgiven. Why? Because judgment day is coming, God must judge sin and to fall under his judgment forever. Doesn't bear thinking about. Jesus, like the good parents, can see our greater need. But do you see how gently he shows this man his greatest need? You see, I've read this before as kind of, this is about, you know, Jesus punching it through that, you know, he needs forgiveness. Actually, Jesus doesn't say, you need to realize your greatest need. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. In one and the same sentence, yes, he shows him his deepest need, but he gives him what he needs. Like the doctor whose cancer patient runs up to him and begging him for painkillers to deal with the symptoms, and instead the doctor hands him the drugs to take away cancer forever. To have peace with God is our deepest need. It is also our greatest dream. You see, as the prophecy has Isaiah prophesied, that of his kingdom there will be no end, and of peace, no end. What is Mark showing us? Jesus is the one who can bring peace from Satan, peace from suffering, and peace with God. And so this is why Jesus' kingdom will last forever. This is why those in his kingdom will live forever. And so for the one who comes to Christ in faith, or who has come, let the dreaming begin. Eternity beckons. And finally, we need to see his deep desire, and we'll end here. But we do see here the character of Jesus and the character, therefore, of God. You see verse 41. Do you see what he didn't have to do? He can heal this leper with a word. Instead, he reached out and touched him. I take it this is in all three Gospels that describe this event. Why? I don't think the disciples mention Jesus' choreography that precisely on many occasions. It's in there because they remember it. Vividly, they remember his arm moving out and the gasp as he reaches towards the leper. Jesus Christ moves towards the sinner who comes to him in faith. He will not cast you out, whatever you've done. He comes towards you. It is his deep desire to make you clean forever. And I love that the paralyzed man, same point, the paralyzed man doesn't even ask for forgiveness. But Jesus gives him not what he wants, but what he needs. He is eager to forgive him, is he not? And then he heals him as well. Jesus, overflowing with mercy and grace, he doesn't just want to fix something about us. He wants to fix everything. And so the sinner who comes to Christ in faith can be confident of two things. He can make us right with God forever, but also he will. He is eager to. It is as if he doesn't wait for the words to be out of our mouth. Yes, I will. And so for the Christian, you are clean. Can I speak to the Christian today? Those of us who have put our trust in Christ. You are clean. Today, Christ has made you clean. You are forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. You are a child of God forever. And can you see that you are loved? Jesus still feels the same about you. Jesus still feels the same about you that he did the first day that you came to him in faith. His heart is for you. And that is, can I suggest, if you're a Christian here today, that is the cause for joy at whatever is happening in your life. Jesus is worth leaving behind all the priorities of this world for this king and this kingdom. And if you're not a Christian, if you're with us looking into things, well, the implication for you, I think, is very simple. Come and find the touch of Christ to make you clean forever. And come to him in faith and receive the forgiveness of your sins. And come to him in faith and be declared a child of God forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you don't just give us what we want, but what we so deeply need. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your cleansing. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we thank you that, as if that were not enough, you declare us to be children of God, precious, loved, all by your grace. Thank you that you are not reluctant, but you are eager to save sinners who come to you. Thank you for what this means about the future, that we have now an eternity to dream about in your kingdom forever. We do pray for anyone here who is not yet a Christian. We pray that you would help them and open their eyes to see you, Lord. And we pray for this city around. We pray for our offices. We pray for people in our workplaces. Lost, unclean, facing the judgment of God. How we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have mercy and be at work in them. Call them to come to you to find what they most need. And we ask it in your name. Amen.